Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you heard of the idea of a spirit animal? If you have, it means you're probably a nerd because you read science fiction or fantasy novels. Or maybe you're into mythology, but basically the idea is you have an animal that is kind of a representation of your personality. So, in these imaginary worlds that these authors create, people have spirit animals like lions and hawks and mustangs. No one ever picks a chihuahua, I notice, or a flounder. What would yours be, I wonder? Well, I think that for humanity in general, if I were to pick a spirit animal, I think the best representation would be Wile E. Coyote from the old cartoons. Remember, he makes those elaborate plans to catch the Roadrunner, but it always finds him chasing the Roadrunner off a cliff. And the one moment that I think is the most powerful here for our purposes this morning is when Wile E. Coyote has gone off the edge of the cliff, he's hovering in midair, and he's realizing he's about to drop. That moment where he has that realization, I think, is where a lot of human beings live. That is your spirit animal, Wile E. Coyote about to drop into the canyon. I mean, isn't that true that you can, even if you don't think that's you? I mean, there are some of you for whom that is a real situation. You are in that right now. Somebody told me recently that what he has learned from my preaching is that everybody has problems. It's like, wow, what a downer. Yeah, so I was thinking maybe St. Albans cheer could be, "We got problems, yes we do. We got problems, yes." We're going to get t-shirts and bumper stickers. No, but it's true. People are facing a lot of stuff. You'd be amazed. You think you're the only one with the relationship that's on the ropes. You think you're the only one that is, one moderate car repair job away from financial crisis, right? The study just came out that 47% of Americans said that if they had a $400 expense that wasn't planned for, they don't know how they would pay for it. So, you think that's just you, but really it's everybody. I mean, you would be amazed at the stuff people are facing. Your first husband who won't behave, your second wife, your credit card balance, your estranged father, and of course Father's Day is coming. Chronic pain, grief, ambiguous loss, the physical limitations that come with aging, and the gradual awareness that you will not be able to do what you used to do, and it seems like you don't, I don't feel old, yet here I am. Addiction, isolation. In addition to my many hours reading the Bible, I also read Stephen King occasionally. And Stephen King, in his book Pet Sematary, has this idea where he talks about no wife ever really knows what her husband is thinking fully. That there's always parts that are walled off and that he doesn't tell her. But really, King has got it wrong. No person who lives with another person, male or female, knows what is going on fully, right? Even the person who knows you better than anybody in the world, there are things that you do that are going on in your head that you don't share with that person. So that isolation that's there. See, these are all just the kind of things that we carry around that indicate we are Wile E. Coyote just hanging out there getting ready to drop. And I think the events in Waco over the last 2-3 weeks show how you can be going along and everything is normal and then the bottom drops out, right? There are people unemployed now who had very prominent jobs just a short time ago. So this is the human condition. Wile E. Coyote, we make elaborate schemes, we think we're in control, and then we find ourselves running off the edge of the cliff, hanging there, waiting to drop. Cheery sermon this morning, isn't it? Well, I do feel that unless we're dealing with reality, I mean, why are we in church? I mean, we're here for a little relief. You know, as Bob Dylan sang, any day now, I shall be released. We want some freedom. We want some help. We want, as the Bible phrase goes, some balm in Gilead. And so today we get it. From the prophet from Gilead, Elijah shows up in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, comes to a woman who is in a situation where she is Wile E. Coyote hanging out there getting ready to drop. So I'm going to look at the story a little bit, retell it and put it in context, and then I'm going to say what it can do for us, Wile E. Coyote people. So this is Elijah's first appearance. If you are not a Bible reader all the time, his name may be unfamiliar to you, but if you hang around churches or do read your Bible, you know that he is kind of the preeminent Old Testament prophet, and he shows up kind of out of nowhere. We don't get a story about his childhood or where he went to high school. He just shows up fully formed in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, this prophet, and there is a drought going on. There's no rain because the people of Israel has been naughty, and so as a result, there's no rain. And when there's no rain, there's no crops. And when there's no crops, there's no food. And when there's no food, everybody is starving. And so that's the situation. And Elijah has been drinking from a little stream that then dries up. And so God says, go to Zarephath, to this widow, and she'll take care of you. You saw a couple things here. This widow is out gathering sticks. She's going to make her last meal before she dies. And Elijah comes up to her and says, make a little something for me, and then I'll stay with you. And while I'm with you, the little bit of meal you have and the oil you have will not run out. And so God solves her problem. And we know that it was a real problem, because it says she's a widow. Now that is synonymous in Old Testament stories with poverty, right? Because in this system where kind of patriarchal system, your husband provides for you. Your husband supports you. So if she's a widow, it means she's destitute. And you will say, well, maybe her son can help her. Well, no. The fact that she's out gathering sticks means that her son was not old enough to do it. Because any son that even was 4 or 5 years old could go out and gather a little firewood. But the fact that she is doing it means that not only is she poor with no husband to support her, her son can't support her either. So she is a single mother, a widow, and poor. So she is completely Wile E. Coyote, down to her last meal, getting ready to drop. And of course, Elijah comes and miraculously solves her problem. So what do we take from that for us? Well, let me tell you what the world would say. This is the message you get, that I get everywhere. If you have a problem, if you have a situation, this is what you do. It's two things, either performance or positivity. Performance, you have to perform, you have to do something. You have to obey the Lord and he will bless you. You've heard this, right? Obey the Lord and he will take care of you. Or just get yourself together. Or pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get your life on track. Perform. That's one thing the world will tell you if you've got a problem. Read this book. Take this course. Make some changes. Read this article. All those things. The second thing is positivity. Right, you have someone in your life that's like the Charles DeMar character in the 1985 teen classic, Better Off Dead, a breakout role for John Cusack. And Charles would say, buck up, little camper. Right, you have people that say you need to be positive. In whatever crisis you face, you got to be positive. You got to tell yourself encouraging phrases as you look in the mirror. Put your positive energy out into the universe. Whatever that means. I don't know. But people will tell you this. Is it working? Now, that may work sometimes. Maybe for a little while, but it's sort of like any deal on QVC. It is for a limited time only. Because pretty soon you will face a situation where you are Wile E. Coyote about to discover the effects of gravity. You have run off the edge of the cliff, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You can be performing as hard as you can, right? Wile E. is always, he's still running for a little while, even though he's out there with no ground beneath him, and that's not going to fix it. You can have as much positivity as you can muster. You could be radiating a rainbow from your chest like a Care Bear. And you're still going to drop. Right? There are situations, right? I mean, you've been in situations where no amount of positivity, no amount of positive thinking and good intentions or performance is going to get you out of the box canyon in which you find yourself. So what do we do? Well, I just want to say, make some observations about this widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, which is that she didn't perform, and she was not positive, and yet. Okay, so she didn't perform. She was, you may have noticed, from a little town called Zarephath, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean, kind of northern Israel, close up to Lebanon. And this was a town that was populated by pagans. And, you know, oh, you're like, oh, like California? No. No, it was full, right? It was full of people who worshipped Asherah, who was a goddess of sex and war, who favored temple prostitution and human sacrifice. And so to say, go to a widow in Zarephath, is to say, hey, Jewish prophet, go to a place that is as far from worshiping the right God as possible. So she is not performing in any sort of way that would earn this miracle or this reversal of fortune or this salvation. And I'm sure there were a few people in Israel, good Jews, good Yahweh worshipers, maybe some a remnant there that God could have sent Elijah to, but he sends her specifically to one who is breaking the rules, one who is breaking many of the Ten Commandments, especially the first one, I am the Lord your God, you'll have no other gods but me, because she worships Asherah. But a little footnote here, some people would look at this passage and say, oh, but she does perform, and that's actually the main message. She makes a little cake for Elijah. She gives to the Lord the little bit that she has. She sacrifices a little bit. She's obedient a little bit. And look how the Lord blesses her. To which I want to say, hogwash. Because if the Lord really cared about her performing and being righteous, Elijah would have said to her, stop worshiping this pagan deity, this idol. The request from Elijah is primarily one of show hospitality to me, which was dictated by Middle Eastern culture, especially an older man, an authority figure, asking for food from this woman. She was essentially obligated to do it by the code of her time. There's no great obedience or, you know, I'll sacrifice a little to the Lord, I'll put my $5 in the offering plate and he'll pay my telephone bill or whatever it is. That's not what's happening here. Okay? So if you're playing bingo, that's my anti-prosperity gospel diatribe. You can check that one off. So she didn't perform. She worshipped Asherah. And yet God shows up through Elijah. The second is she didn't stay positive. We have this amazing, despairing quote from her in verse 12. After Elijah asks her for some help, little food, she says, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. A little bit analogous to the opening lines of Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. Three of you were already thinking of it, and now the rest of you are. I'm going to eat it and die. That is about as far from positive thinking as you can get. we've run out, we've got nothing left, we're just going to go home, eat our last meal, and starve. This is resignation. This is despair. This is Wile E. Coyote about to drop, and now he has realized it. So, no performance, no positivity. Amen. No. Wouldn't that be depressing? Well, so what do we do? What do we do with that? If we know that there's situations in life where no amount of performance or no amount of positivity will work, what we see here, and this is what I want to offer you, what we see here is that there are times when what you need is not help from within, but you need someone to come from outside you. You essentially need God to arrive. You need help from outside. And that's what happens. And it's also what happens in the gospel reading we heard Ben read from Luke chapter 7. In another situation involving a widow who is at the end of her rope, another Wile E. Coyote widow, in that story, her son has died. There's no amount of positive thinking that's going to help that situation, no amount of performance, no CPR, no magic tricks, nothing can help. And what we see, this is my first point, we see it in this gospel story and we see it in Elijah. The first thing we see is compassion. This is the heart of God. The heart of God for you in your moments when you are about to drop, the heart of God for you is compassion. He sees and he knows and he has compassion. The second thing is that because we might be left thinking, well, that's great for that widow in Zarephath, that God showed up to deal with her unsolvable problem, that yes, help came from outside. But what about me? Well, if we'd only had Elijah and the widow in Zarephath, there'd be nowhere else to go. There'd be nothing left. But God didn't stop working with Elijah. There is another testament, and there is one who came that is more than a prophet, and that is Jesus Christ. And what happens with Christ is that we have someone who comes into your unsolvable situation, someone who comes from outside, someone who comes to you in your life, and doesn't ask you to try harder or get your stuff together. One who comes to you and does all for you that you cannot do for yourself. Who comes to you and in his death and his resurrection deals with your sin, deals with the reality of your suffering, and offers to you life. Real life. And see, this is the thing. People think that Christianity is a system that makes bad people good and good people better. That is just some ethical treatises, some wise sayings that will help you be better, faster, stronger. Right? Like Daft Punk / Kanye West. But that's not what it is. Christianity is about taking dead people and dead things and making them alive again. Right? You have heard the song by Elton John, no doubt. Where he says, men like me are dead in places where other men are liberated. Men or women like me are dead in places where other men or women are liberated. And what the story of the widow in Zarephath shows, along with this story in Luke's Gospel chapter 7, and to some extent what St. Paul is talking about in Galatians 1, the message is, where you are dead, where you are Wile E. Coyote hanging out there off the edge of the cliff, Jesus Christ comes and offers resurrection. That's the message. Someone to come from outside of you and where there is death to bring life. And so the thing is, if you, like the widow in Zarephath, can face the reality of your situation without numbing or denial, but to be in a place of honesty, which is where she is. We're going to eat it and die. You may hear from others that is the place where God has abandoned you, where God has left. But the message of the gospel is to say that where you are dead, that's the place where God actually begins to work. And that's the place where you find life, and that's where resurrection comes. Now, it is frustrating because resurrection does not come on our schedule when we want it. But we follow a risen Lord who, through his defeat of death, says that, yes, it is coming. And he said, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. I want you to get together with everybody. And I want you to tell the story. And I want you to eat some bread. And I want you to drink some wine. To remember that what is more true, more than anything else in your life, more than anything else in the world, is that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins and tasted death, that he could defeat both and offer you resurrection. A taste of it now and the fullness to come. Let's pray. Dear God, in situations where we are dead, we ask for resurrection. And where we are stuck, a miracle and provision. Lord, have mercy. In Christ's name, amen.